Word of Truth broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Sheldon Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you knew what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. We thank Thee, our Father, for this opportunity again to come before Thy throne of grace and to ask for mercy and obtain grace to help in time of need, for this is a time of need, as we wait to deliver Thy message to this radio audience. We do pray again that Thou wilt take that word that Thou hast given us home to each and every heart. Thou wilt give us eyes to see with and ears to hear with, and Thou wilt bless us with Thy precious word this day, for it is in Christ's name that we ask. Amen.
Thank you.
I say amen. Do you? What has God done for your never-dying soul? Oh, I praise Him every day for condescending to die in my place and to take my sins and bear them away and pay for them in full by His death upon the cross. I praise God for His shed blood, great things He's done. And not only that, but He keeps us and delivers us and guides us and leads us every day that we live. And His Holy Spirit has come in to take up His abode in my heart, to make me His very own. And I praise God for this. Do you, my friend? We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. If you would like to have a part in this radio ministry of the Word of Truth, preaching the Word of God as it is to men as they are, then write us and tell us that you're standing with us in prayer. That's the greatest thing that you can do for us, is to pray for us, that God will lead, God will bless, and God will give understanding as we preach His Word week after week to your hearts. We do appreciate and give God the glory for all that He has done for us on this broadcast over the years, the many friends He's given us across the nation, and we just praise Him for giving you to us as a friend week after week. Have you written for your free book that we're offering this month entitled A Prayer Meeting? It's by Brother Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon. It's his brief discourses or words of instruction to his prayer group that met there in the Tabernacle Church in London every Monday night for prayer. They had over 1,000 every Monday night that met for united prayer, praying for revival. And I thought this would be a good book for you and I to read at this time when we're praying for revival, praying that God will undertake for us in this hour and send an awakening. So the book will rejoice your heart and give you much pointers on prayer. It is yours free and postpaid if you will write us. Ask for it by name, only a prayer meeting. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. Again, we come into your home with this series of messages on the sovereignty of God in salvation, which I can truthfully say have been a blessing to my own heart, not only in preparing them, but in delivering them. For God surely has met with us these times as we have honored Him, given Him the glory. In our message today upon this blessed truth of God's sovereignty, let us see from God's Word its practical application, and thereby show that it is not a truth to be ashamed of, because natural man hates it, but a blessed truth to proclaim, believe, and rejoice in, because it magnifies the grace of God, and because it is a biblical truth cast in the light of God's holy word. You remember the first truth that we learned in this series of messages was that because of the total depravity of all of Adam's race, no man would have ever been saved if God had not elected him, called him, and justified him by His grace in Christ Jesus. Upon the basis of our Lord's substitutionary death upon the cross and the power of His resurrection from the grave. You see, if God had let the human race alone, no man would have ever come to Christ of his own free will, because we read these words in John 3. This is the commandment, or this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light lest his deeds should be reproved. Did you hear those words? It says, everyone that doeth evil. And Romans 3:23 tells us that every man has sinned and come short of the glory of God. So then all men are evil. Therefore, man hates the light, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Another statement made in these verses in John 3 is that this man who does evil and hates the light, neither cometh to the light. And why? Because he does not want his deeds to be manifested. In other words, he hates the light, for he's a sinner. So every sinner by nature is evil. He hates the light and will not come to the light, who is Christ, except he be drawn by the effectual call of God the Holy Spirit, as we have seen in our last two messages. In the light of these verses, I believe we can then understand much better the words of our Lord in John 6:44, which read, "No man can come to me, except the Father which has sent me draw him." And how does he do this? By his Holy Spirit, who frees the sinner's will to close in savingly with Christ. My friend, do you now see a little light upon the practical application of the truth of God's elective grace and love and salvation? You see, the sinner hating God because his deeds are evil would not come to Christ, except electing love had chosen him in eternity, except electing grace had sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die in his place and pay his sin debt in full upon the cross, and except electing mercy had sent the Holy Spirit at God's appointed time to effectually call him, draw him, convict him, granting him repentance and faith, and saving him by his almighty power and grace upon the basis of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could go on with scripture after scripture showing you the utter helplessness of man to save himself, and therefore the need of divine help, and this help from above if ever you and I are saved. We could show you from Romans 8:7 that every soul is enmity against God, therefore would not come to God unless drawn by the Holy Spirit in electing love. In fact, Isaiah 55:7 tells us that man in his natural state is going in the opposite direction from God, and according to Luke 19:14, wants to be let alone. We will not have this man to rule over us. Therefore, listen to me now, drawing my conclusion. Therefore, if God did not stop a sinner with his electing love and grace by the Holy Spirit, then no man would be saved. Dear friend, this is the practical application of this gracious truth. What we have been speaking on for these 7 weeks is not a lie from hell, nor a blasphemous thing that we should stay away from, that is, God's sovereignty and salvation. But it is a godly truth, a blessed truth, a heavenly truth for which we should daily praise the Lord. Why? Because if you and I were left to ourselves, we would be lost forever. You see, this precious, gracious truth humbles each sinner at the feet of the Lord. I know it humbles me. It humbles me at the feet of my blessed Lord, for I know without the shadow of a doubt that if God in his electing love had not chosen me in Christ before the foundation of the world, according to 2 Timothy 1:9, and worked by his Holy Spirit in my heart in conviction, according to John 16, then I would have been forever lost. For I would, under no condition, have ever chose Christ and closed in with him savingly, for I did not want him. Another thing we should face as we look at this gracious biblical truth, and it is this. I want you to get this now. Salvation is not a question of justice, but of grace and mercy. You hear it said today that God is not just to elect one and leave another. But dear friend, if it was a basis of God's justice, then we would all be in hell. For that is where we justly deserve to go, for having sinned against such a holy and righteous God. But I, for one, praise the Lord, it is not on the basis of justice, but on the basis of God's grace and of God's mercy. That being so, then, we can understand that the reason God chooses one to salvation and leaves another, and lets him pursue his own wicked course according to his own will lies within the realm of the sovereign will of God. And for this I praise him. You see, God could have left the whole human race to its wicked course, but he didn't. God, being sovereign, chose a number that no man could number out of Adam's race for a bride for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening? I want to ask you a question. Will you answer me? Did God have the right to select whom he would as a bride for his son? I ask another question. Did I have the right, that prerogative right, to choose my own bride? Sure I did. Out of all the girls I went with in my teen years, I chose Lorraine Reeves to be my bride, and we were married on the 21st day of August, 1942, and are still together today by God's grace. So if I, a puny little human being, so insignificant among the creatures of God, had a right to exercise my will in choosing the young lady that I loved to be my bride, does not the sovereign God of the universe, who made us all have the same prerogative right to choose a bride for his son out of all of Adam's hell-deserving race? Well, the answer is yes, he does. And he did. And I praise him for it. If you'll read the 17th chapter of John, which is a high priestly prayer of our Lord, you'll find there that our Lord prayed 7 times in 26 verses for those whom the Father had given him to be his bride. Verse 2, 6, 9, 11, 12, and 24. He said, I pray for those whom the Father has given me to be my bride. You're listening. Let me state another fact about this blessed truth. Election does not mean that God refuses to save those who earnestly seek salvation in Christ, because he says, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. John 3:16 and Revelation 22:17. Would God deny that which he had commanded us to do, and that is to seek the Lord while he may be found? No. Election never turns any seeking soul away, because the only reason that a sinner is earnestly seeking salvation in Christ is because the Holy Spirit has been at work in his heart, showing him his guilty condition before God, and therefore the sinner must seek Christ because he sees in him a beauty and a glory. He sees in him a Savior and a Deliverer that he can find nowhere else. He can find this in no one else. For God has provided all of this in the Lord Jesus Christ, for which I praise him. Yes, any sinner who wills to be saved can be saved, because his will is being freed by the Holy Spirit to close in savingly with Christ. I've often been asked the question, how can I know that I have been elected to salvation? The answer is very simple. Come to Christ. If you want him, come. And his word says that he will not cast you out. The question you face, dear friend, is, do you want Christ? If you do, that is a sign that you have been elected. When a sinner comes to the place that he wants Christ more than any other, or anything else, God will save him. For what the Father giveth me, said Christ, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. All right, let's look at another truth in this connection. Each and every one of you, both your speaker and you who are listening, we have the responsibility set before us and for us in Scripture to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, and to love our neighbors as ourself. If we do not, then we have broken God's holy law and stand under the curse of the law, which says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Knowing our hearts, then, we all know that we have not kept God's holy law in this way. So then we abide under the curse of God's law and his righteous wrath. Therefore, we are responsible to repent of our sins, turn to God from our sins, and seek the Lord Jesus Christ in mercy and faith if we are to escape the judgments of God. We also must close in with Christ and seek him savingly if we are ever to be saved, for this is what He has commanded us to do. And my dear friend, this is what I saw and felt after I was awakened to my lost, ruined, and guilty condition before God. I felt the keen responsibility that if I didn't get to Christ, I would go to hell. Yet on the other hand, I felt and knew that if God would withdraw His Holy Spirit from me, I would still go to hell because I knew I could not come apart from His delivering power. But by the aid of the Holy Spirit, that when I did come to Christ and cast myself upon Him, in my utter lost condition, God saved me and revealed His Son in me. Then it was that I could look back over the door through which I had entered in Christ and saw written on the inside these precious words, elected in Him before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. I saw then that I had been an object of God's love from all eternity, Jeremiah 31:3, and that it was by the cords of divine love and by the tender mercies of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit had drawn me unto Christ. It was the Holy Spirit who opened my depraved heart and showed me who I am by nature and the judgment I was under, and then revealed Christ in my heart, showing me that He had paid my sin debt in full and had pardoned me completely. This is the reason why to me election is one of the most comforting thoughts of God's Word, one of the most encouraging teachings, and I find it a sure foundation in Christ for me to rest upon. You see, it humbles me at His blessed feet, crying, Lord, why me? I know that it's a mystery. I know I don't understand it and never will. Because there was nothing in me for God to love, and nothing now for Him to love except what He has put in me, and that by His grace. Therefore I praise Him, my precious Lord. I praise Him for all He has done, and I continue to praise Him. Do you praise Him, my friend? I never forget when God was dealing in my heart. As I sat there in that church building on that front row, as I did week after week, crying to God for mercy, I came to the place I literally threw up my hands and cried, Lord, You're sovereign. You can either save me or damn me. But I'm going to sit right here. I'm going to cry after You. I'm going to hear Your Word preached until You do one of the two. And I didn't know it, but I was at the place of salvation. I had come to the end of my way. I could not save myself. I could not make God save me. But I was trusting Him and looking to Him for Him to do the work in my heart. And bless His holy name, He did, and I praise Him for it. Before we close this message, let me deal with each heart who claims to be born again and a true child of God. I ask you, to whom do you give credit for your salvation, yourself or God? Did you save yourself or did God save you? If you're a true child of God, I know you're saying, God saved me. I know He did. Therefore, I say that you believe as I believe, that salvation is of the Lord. Let me ask you another question. Do you attribute your repenting and believing to your own wisdom or prudence or sound judgment or good sense? If you're saved, you don't. You give glory in your heart to God because He awakened you and you heard the gospel message, not by chance, but because of the providence of God, the grace of God in Christ. Therefore, you believe as I believe. And as the Word of God teaches, that salvation is of the Lord. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever got down before God and told Him that while you are grateful for the means and opportunities of grace that He gave you, you realize that you have yourself to thank, not Him, for you responded to the call? I hear you say, Pastor, those thoughts never crossed my mind. Away with them. For surely God called me. God saved me. And God alone keeps me. It is all of Him. I attribute it all to God's grace. And I say, dear friend, I too know this. Therefore, you and I believe the same thing. We believe what the Word of God teaches, that salvation is of the Lord. So you see the practical application of all of this? It gives glory to God. It makes us rejoice in what He has done. Instead of us being angry with God for this great truth that He reveals on the pages of Holy Writ, it leads us to praise Him and to thank Him and to rejoice in Him that ever He had that council meeting back in eternity, and that He elected us and chose us in salvation, and that the Lord Jesus Christ agreed to come and die for us, and the Holy Spirit agreed to come and to call us out and to make us His very own and bring us unto Christ and, as it were, woo us and win us by His love so that our wills would be freed to close in savingly with the Lord Jesus Christ, to close in savingly in repentance with a hatred for sin, a turning unto God from all that we are, with a hatred for sin, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, crying after Him. So, dear friend, let us praise Him together for His work of salvation and give Him all the honor and glory for coming and dying in our place and bringing us by His Spirit unto God, reconciling us unto God by His Spirit through the blood that was shed upon Calvary's cross, and giving us a new heart and a new nature, and a praise in our soul for the great God who died for us. Yes, to God be the glory for the great things which He has done for our never-dying souls. You've listened, and God's been in our midst. You'll want a copy of these messages. They'll be ready when you write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.